Would you all pray with me?
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. Something you may not know about me is that I have what some would call an eclectic music palette. I mostly listen to a few distinct types of music, but my playlist spans pretty widely across genres and artists. A lot of my favorite songs fall under what my sister calls middle-aged dad rock. And this includes bands, this may hurt some of your feelings, like Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Rush, and System of a Down. As you know from some of my sermon illustrations, I listen to rap a bit, with Kendrick Lamar being my favorite artist. I also listen to up-and-comers like Chapel Roan and Sabrina Carpenter, and both young women fall under the broad label of pop. But there's one genre of music that I've become nearly obsessed with here recently, especially as we head into spring and the summer months of sunshine and warm weather. I discovered this genre through my mom, and now I can't stop listening to it. The music genre is called yacht rock. How many of you know what yacht rock is? Yeah. Yacht rock is a genre that can be described as easy listening, or smooth rock, or, as I once said to my mom to make fun of her, old people music. But look who's laughing now. Some of my favorite artists are Kenny Loggins, the Doobie Brothers, and Michael McDonald, who was the lead singer of the Doobie Brothers. And one song that I can't get enough of recently is a single by Michael McDonald called I Keep Forgetting. How many of you know that song? Yes, yes. In this song, Michael McDonald has recently broken off a relationship with his former lover, and in it he sings this, quote, every time you're near, every time I see your smile, I hear your hello, saying that you can only stay a while. Tell me how come I keep forgetting we're not in love anymore. I keep forgetting things will never be the same. I keep forgetting how you made that so clear. I keep forgetting. Whenever his former love comes around, all the love and the attraction he feels in the present moment tricks him into forgetting for a split second that their love will never be mended again. Things will never be the same, but Michael McDonald keeps forgetting that. I apologize if I read a bit too much into this sort of thing, but I think this song reveals something about all of us. I believe this song reminds us that we are creatures of the moment. Although our brain works on finding patterns based on our past, in the moment we often find it hard to zoom out and to see the big picture, don't we? Whenever we come across roadblocks on our journey through the wilderness, it's very easy for us to forget our past and to forget how we got through similar roadblocks in the past. It's almost like an amnesia of sorts, or what my mom calls a selective memory. With the way we experience life, it's hard not to remain trapped in the difficulty of the present moment. It's hard to take a step back and to think our way out of it. The present is just this little sliver of our lives, but for us living in it, it's much more than that. It's all we can see. And it's so big in our minds that it's easy to swallow up any memory of our past. And this is exactly what we see in today's scripture passage. In Exodus 17, the Israelites face the opposite problem as Michael McDonald. For the Israelites, it isn't the sweet, sweet joy of the present, but the immense tragedy of the present that leads them to keep forgetting how God has delivered for them in the past. They have been walking through the hot wilderness for miles. They finally set up camp at Rephidim, and there's no water. Now, this story comes after the story we explored this morning in Sunday school, the story of God providing manna and quail for the Israelites to eat. And the repetition of this type of story in Exodus makes us poke fun at those silly little Israelites, doesn't it? We chuckle at their woes in the wilderness because we'd like to think, oh, I wouldn't act like that. I have greater faith than they do. They just never learn, do they? But listen, manna and quail or not, they didn't have any water. You can survive a whole lot longer without food than you can without water, so it's understandable that they feel this way. They're in danger, right then and right there, but we make fun of them anyways, don't we, those groaning and complaining Israelites. However, when we do this, when we poke fun at the Israelites, we might want to think about throwing stones when we live in a glass house. In our current political and social environment, you hear phrases and words like the end of the world, apocalyptic, and unprecedented every day. In some ways, yes, it is, especially right now. But in others, it's the same old story. So I think the point is this. In the Israelites, we see something that we may not like to see in ourselves. Our rational brain that we can use when we're separated from the experience of the Israelites is telling us, you'd never act that way. Don't be silly. You have better faith than that. But right now, in the moment, when we get to our camp and when we don't have any water, when we see something play out in the political realm that will drastically affect our lives, it's too easy to forget the deliverances that God has provided up to that point. So at the end of the day, we're not too different from those pesky Israelites. Those Israelites who forget that they wouldn't be there in the first place without God. In the words of Michael McDonald, we keep forgetting. The forgetfulness of the Israelites is seen in their accusations against Moses, where they ask if the reason Moses, not God, Moses brought them out of Egypt was to kill them. Very often, when we forget the ways God has delivered for us, and acted for us in the past, we quickly attribute those actions to our beloved, or to those around us, or even to ourselves. According to the narrative, it only takes 2 or 3 months for the Israelites to forget who really brought them out of Egypt. God. They think they're depending on Moses, and that's why they ask Moses for water, not God. But it's very soon that we find out that Moses can't give them what they need. We learn that if we were to rely on Moses to fix all our problems, we would never make it. Moses, despite being the great leader that he was, he had his own fears, his own frustrations, and his own limitations. He couldn't provide what the Israelites needed. These days, depending on a Moses could look like putting all our hope or faith in a leader or a politician, or even a close friend to solve all of our problems. Think about how many people today look for their political leader for answers. We often place all of our trust and all of our faith in these figures, and we believe that they can fix everything. But the good news this morning is that this passage isn't about Moses. Moses plays a very minor role in this passage. In verse 6, we see that Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. But this passage isn't about Moses. It's about God. The fact is, we're going to react like the Israelites whether we want to or not. we're going to keep forgetting how God has delivered for us in the past. But as someone once said, it isn't the first thought that defines a person. It's their second thought. And I believe this passage gives us a beautiful second thought to remember in times of crisis. A truth we learn about God. Whenever that fear takes hold in us when we see what we're up against, today we learn that we can remember that God has delivered, that God is delivering, and that God will deliver for us in the future. Today we learn that our God is the God who delivers. Today we learn that even though we'll keep forgetting, God hasn't forgotten about us. In this passage, we learn that God doesn't brush off our worries and our fears. See, what I find so amazing about this story is that God doesn't scold the Israelites for their fear or for their forgiveness. God doesn't say, "Come on, let's get it together. Why don't you trust me any more than you do?" No, after God hears the Israelites, God simply tells Moses what to do. Strike the rock and the water will flow. God doesn't come down hard and punish the people. God acts instead with patience, with care, and with provision. God gives them what they need when they need it. And in this passage, we're reminded that this is what God does. This is part of a pattern. When God tells Moses, "Take the staff with which you struck the Nile," God gently reminds Moses of this pattern that's going on, this pattern of God's provision. This is a little nudge from God that almost says, "You remember that, don't you? The same staff I told you to use when I parted the Red Sea for you, that staff, I did that. The staff that you brought before the Pharaoh I freed you from, yeah, I did that too." One of the self-designations that God uses in Exodus reminds us of this pattern. When God refers to himself as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, what God is actually saying is, "I did that for Abraham. I did that for Isaac. I did that for Jacob. And I'm going to do it for you too." So today we learn that this is our God. A God who sees our needs even when we forget what God has already done for us. A God who delivers again and again and again. We worship the same God who freed the Israelites from Egyptian slavery. The same God who sent them manna and quail every day in the wilderness. We worship the same God who sent them water through a rock. And we worship the same God who sent us living water through Jesus Christ. We worship the same God who has done all this, and today we have to wonder, why in the world would God stop now? Why would God stop now? So the good news today is that God has acted for us and will continue to deliver for us too. As a church, look at the ways that God has delivered for us. From a house church on Pointer Ridge Drive to building the first building, God delivered. From the charred rubble of the first building to the second building we're in today, God delivered. From two major transitions in 6 years, God delivered. From making it through COVID, which we know is an act of God, and then thriving on the other side, God delivered. And for each of us personally, I'm sure you can think of even more ways that God has provided exactly what you need, exactly when you needed it. Think of your deepest and darkest hour and think of the way God provided for you within that moment and after that moment. Time and time again, God delivers. What all this means is that along our journey, even though each thing we face will be just as scary, the good news is that we can start from a place of knowing that God delivers for us. So when we hit that next bump in the road, when we see power and prestige threaten us and those we love, when we are in the wilderness and we don't have any water, we can say God has delivered, God is delivering, and God will deliver, and why would God stop now? Yes, we worship a God who delivers, but that doesn't mean we can sit around and wait for it. This truth that God will deliver has to inspire us to action. God parted the Red Sea, but the Israelites had to step into it before it was parted. God provided manna and quail, but the Israelites had to go out and gather it. God provided water from a rock, but the Israelites had to go gather it and drink it. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And you can lead us like the Israelites to something that will change us and change the world, but it's our call to take that next step and to deliver for God. So when we say God will deliver, that's true, but it's only half the story because we have to hold up our end of the deal and receive God's provision for our own good and for the good of the world. It's up to us too, Village Baptist. So as we find ourselves in the wilderness together, let's remember that God will deliver for us. Let's remember that God won't stop now. But this doesn't mean we can sit around and wait for God to deliver. We have to act. We have to believe that God is working in and through us, and we must step forward in faith. When we remember that God has delivered in the past, we can step into the future with confidence, knowing that God will provide. And as we do, we can trust that God will use us, just as God used the Israelites to bring hope, to bring healing, and to bring deliverance to the world around us. So let's move forward, Village Baptist. Let's move forward with the confidence that comes from knowing that the same God who delivered the Israelites from Egypt, the same God who provided manna and quail and water in the wilderness, the same God who sent his Son Jesus Christ to bring us living water, that same God will deliver for us today and the next day and the next day. And if God has delivered before, God will deliver again. So let's trust in that truth. Let's step into the future with faith, and let us act in the knowledge that God's deliverance is never far away. Why in the world would God stop now? May it be so.